Well, there's a few things I want to read. Terry Lee's our little poet. She just writes such great poetry. She wrote this called God's View of Time. There was never a time when I did not want you. There was never an age I was not preparing for you. There was never a day I did not long for a family. There was never a second that I did not love you. And then came the moment when you answered my call. So now, there's never a time I'm not with you. There's never a day I will not help you. There's never a minute that you're not in my heart. There's never a second that I do not love you. And the moment shall come when the trumpet shall sound. So then, there will never be a day that we won't be together. There will never be an hour you won't be rejoicing. There'll never be a minute that you shed a tear. There'll never be a second that I will not love you. And from that on, moment on, eternity is ours. She's an amazing writer.
Beautiful.
And it gives me chills bumps. That's all I want to read. Fantastic. Really, really fantastic. And I last week, for those of you that were here, there was a heck of a lot of prayers for healing. And then certainly that's good. It's good that we pray, as long as we're believing when we pray. You know, when you pray, you're not praying to air. You're praying to someone who's there. You're praying to someone who cares all the time. Just like that beautiful poem said. And this book we made available at the Advance, I think, was the first time it was available. And there's some wonderful transcripts from teachings from Dr. Werwolf. And I thought I'd read this. It's not very long, but man, is it powerful. It's called The Healing Wholeness of Love. The greatest thing I know is spiritual, and that healing is in the new birth. While that healing is spiritual, the spiritual is so dynamic that it overflows and affects your physical, the physical. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Who knows what that says? Nick, you want to quote it?
Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Right. And you'd think that it would be some big difficult thing to get born again, to get born from above, you know, and it isn't. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you're saved. It's amazing. That, I believe, is the greatest healing. Accompanying this new birth, this birth of Christ within, is speaking in tongues, building up the inner man, the spiritual man. The Spirit of God working within us, people, has never been analyzed to see how much it does for us physically, because you can't put it in a test tube or take it into a laboratory. But the Word of God says that it's God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's true, isn't it? Almost everything that man does is something that they have to prove it. They have to put it to test. They have to shake it up and analyze it and look at it. And that's the way pretty much we're all taught to do everything, to check everything and this and that. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that. But with God, he's so big and so wonderful and so powerful, you don't need to do any of that. And even if you thought you needed to, you can't do that. Who can measure God? How long's his arm? Well, he doesn't have an arm, but you know what I'm saying. He worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And one of his good pleasures must be in 3 John verse 2. Who knows what that says? Anybody? 3 John 2, Christy?
Beloved, I worship.
Yeah. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And that's not just talking about money. That's talking about your life. What good would it be to be a multimillionaire and you're always anxious and you're always full of doubt and worry and wondering if somebody's going to come after your money and all that stuff? It wouldn't do you any good at all. God, he wishes above all things that we could prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospereth. Man is body, soul, spirit, three-part being. The soul part is the breath life of a human being. That's our soul life. That's our life. And even as we breathe, God wants us to prosper and be in health. It's fantastic. Now, it's not just being born again. It's being sons of God and renewing our minds to what our sonship rights are, to what we have in Christ. Who knows what Romans 12:2 says? Come on. Come on. Somebody else besides the French.
All right, I'll try it.
Let's try it. First word's be.
Yeah.
Second one's not.
I've conformed to this world.
Absolutely. Think of that verse. Be not conformed to this world. And that is what the world, whether they do it on purpose or not, the world's always after human beings to conform. You know, once I got into the Word of God in 1971, I asked God that I could be the best Jerry I could ever be. That was my prayer, that I could be me. I could be the best me. I didn't want to be somebody else. I didn't want to be told on how I should think or any of that. I just want to be the best me, and I knew that that would have to be with the Word of God, so that I wouldn't be conformed to this world, but that I could be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I could change my mind. So can you. So that was so that you could prove. And the word prove in that chapter 12, verse 2 of Romans, is to put to test. You put God's word to test. Prove, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Who knows what the greatest secret in the world is? What, Pammy? Or what's another way to put it? Yeah, and so prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, which is God's word. We prove it by believing it. We prove it by believing it. Not just being born again, it's being sons of God and renewing our minds to what our sonship rights are and what we have in Christ, which is kind of what we've been talking about the last couple few weeks. Because there are a lot of people who are born again, but nothing's happened to them physically. The reason nothing happens to them physically is because they've never put on the mind of Christ or known and believed what really happened to them spiritually when they got born again. Therefore, our teaching ministry is so dynamically urgent. Just teach, 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 and teach. Nothing ever happens to them physically. Plenty's happened to people who know the Word of God here physically. Terry has a story about Connie.
Oh, yeah. She had...
She had mitral valve surgery.
Correct.
To replace the mitral valve.
And the doctor told her today, and he told her husband yesterday, that there's no reason why she should be living, because the valve was open, and it's like almost impossible for her to be alive. He was shocked when he saw the condition of where she was, but...
And that's just today's news.
Yeah.
You know, and I hear things like this every day, and I get so blessed and excited, but I'm not surprised. That's how we should expect things to go. We should expect that God will do for us and for others what His Word says He'll do. Prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So grateful for that. Teach, just teach, teach, teach. The greatest thing I know in all healing is love. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is the greatest chapter in God's Word on the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestations. You see, God so loved, according to John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son. Anybody know what John 3:16 says? Come on now. I want you guys to do some work. Amanda?
For God so loved the world.
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That just, those of us who have sons, you know, it's not just words. That would be, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give my son. I might give myself. I probably would, but I wouldn't give my son. No way. But God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, you and I are sons of God. And we must so give to others so that they can learn how to live. For as we give, they live. If God, and see, I see this in this fellowship. Our fellowship's growing. There's people hearing the word. There's people believing the word. It's fantastic. If God so loved that he gave, the least that you and I can do is so love that we give. I don't know anything, that this is so true, anything more healing than to be loved, than to gather someone into your spiritual arms, so to speak, into your heart, into your mind, and just tenderly share your dynamic love with them. That the Christ that's in you. And you know, my very first fellowship, again, there are three things that stood out. One was I understood what was being taught. Two, I saw power. I saw somebody get healed. And three, I was loved. And I saw people loving people. And I didn't know at the time that it was love. I can't tell you that I did. I didn't know what it was. But whatever it was, I wanted some of that. I wanted a lot of that. And you know, that only increases as you are in the word longer. I need love. I need your love. I need you to take me in your arms and tell me that you love me. Just as you need that for me, as the family needs that. We need that. Because the world's hard, boy. It's hard. It's mean. It's calloused. It's cold. And it's cruel. But not our God. And not you. You are loving. You're kind. You care. You give. And that's a fantastic truth. Yeah. Share your dynamic love with them, that Christ, with the Christ that's in you. You know, anybody can raise hell. And I imagine some of us have done a good job of that over the years.
Sorry.
But very few people who are Christian, well, don't worry about it, Nate. Everybody's raised hell in here. Even the perfect ones. But very few people who are Christian ever get to the place of really overflowing with that love, that tenderness, kindness, forgiveness, and understanding. You know, when people first meet me, sometimes I scare them because I'm loud and boisterous, and I am. Loud and boisterous, but as people get to know me, they know how forgiving I am and how I do love them. And it doesn't matter if you're loud and boisterous. What's in your heart, you know? I got loud love. Think how healing it is when someone just walks up to you, takes you by the arm and says, I sure love you. That's a lot more healing than someone taking you by the arm and saying, what the hell's the matter with you? You see, we've heard all the negative stuff and all that bad stuff, but we seldom take a look at how healing a place can be where there's a believer with that love of God in manifestation. How healing a place can be. A place could be your home. A place could actually be an area like this area where there's an abundance of believers who walk this way, who live this way. It's a rare sight and it's a beautiful sight. There's no other way of bringing great healing. And I'm not just speaking spiritually. I'm speaking physically, that love does something to people that makes their blood flow better, their muscles function better. I don't know what exactly happens in the physical body. I just know that it happens. It warms the inside. They say worry gives you ulcers. And, you know, they prove time and time again. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that doctors aren't full of beans. You know, they're doctors. And so oftentimes, I just talked to somebody on the phone today, just today, again, and it seems to come up rather frequently, where people, they max out in their brain and they get anxious and they get stressful. And then their body, wherever they're the weakest, it hurts them. It harms them. It could be your gut. And a lot of times it is your gut, but it could be anything. It could be, boy, worry. And we learned that the first session of Power for Abundant Living. Doubt, worry, and fear, right? And That is not a good place to be. And when we're like that, when we're anxious, it affects our body. So why wouldn't it make sense that one that's peaceful, one that is loving and kind, why wouldn't that make sense that it would affect your life and your body too? They say that worry gives you ulcers. Well, if poison in the bloodstream is from worry sometimes, think of the sweetness of the love in there. Then love would be healing. Love would tenderize. Love would cause that blood to flow better. You know, when you lose your temper and throw a fit, just think how sick you feel on the inside. How your whole heart just pumps like crazy. How red your face gets. Yeah, you know, you lose your temper, you lose it. You get mad. You know, I got in a substantial amount of fist fights. You know, and you know, when you fight, you don't feel anything. But when that fight's over, man, it is the worst feeling. Even if you win, you lose. It doesn't matter if you, you know, you just, you're red, you shake. It's just terrible. But it's the same way losing your temper. I mean, what's the difference, really, of punching somebody in the face and throwing a coffee cup? Like so many Italians do, you just throw things. You know, it's not healthy losing your temper. We all know that. It makes us upset. It upsets us. It makes us feel lousy. Just think about how sick you feel on the inside. How your whole heart just pumps like crazy. That's just the opposite of what love does. Love will settle that heart down and it'll beat normally. Unnoticed. I doubt if any of us have ever really taken a look at the healing wholeness of love. You can look up verse after verse of scripture on love, and in every one of them, you'll see how love contributes towards making you physically whole. Nothing is as healing as that love of God. So, almost done here. Ambassadors. Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Ambassadors that are faithful ambassadors produce health. Faithful ambassadors holding forth God's word bring health. I'm just so convinced that when we speak God's word with the love of God, that healing has to come. You've got to build people's believing on that word of God. I believe it's wonderful to minister healing. But I think the greatest ministry is the ministry of the Word. It's the Word of God that lives and abides forever. It's that Word that brings healing, and people have to have confidence in the Word and not in man. The man is only a vessel, but as a faithful ambassador, he brings health by teaching the Word of God and loving people. In spite of the shortcomings of all of us, we still radiate the greatest amount of love any place or any people in the world. There's no greater love, you know. It's just the greatest love in the world. So go to 1 John 4. That chapter really blesses me. 1 John chapter 4. First John 4. We'll just read, beloved. You know what that means? You're loved. Be loved. Believe not every spirit. That's a good idea. But try the spirits whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already it's in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. So don't ever let that get you all upset. You have to think spiritually. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And this, what this says here. If they don't hear you, well, that should tell you something. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, here we go. Let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Many times in the world, love seems like to be a weakness. Like you equate somebody loving as maybe possibly weak. That's not true. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God. That shouldn't be like the biggest deal in the world that you love God. Why wouldn't you love God? A God who has never lied to you, a God who's never harmed you, a God who is always good. For us to love God, that, yeah, Aaron is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Yeah, that's the big deal. Mm-hmm. He looks at us and you know what he sees? He sees the Christ in you. He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the folly. He doesn't see the stupid things that we're always thinking about or too often thinking about. He sees a son. He sees his daughter. He loves us because he loves us. There's no good doggone reason that he should love us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Yeah. And sent his son to be the payment in full, it could read, for our sins. His son, Jesus Christ, paid for our sins. All of them. The ones everybody knows about, and the ones nobody knows about but you. And those are usually the worst ones. There is no greatest sin. There are different consequences. I mean, if I kill Jamie tonight, I'm going to jail. God will forgive me. Jamie won't. Won't work. But, you know, lying, whatever, you know, everybody has their pet sins. And that can get you into big trouble, because then you'll start judging people because they do the thing that you think is the worst thing. Well, I tell you something. You need to make a mental arrangement in your brain, because that's wrong. Just because, and I know, I mean, I've got my pet ones too. But boy, I just don't do it. You don't have to either. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. That's why it's easy for me to love you. Not because how good you are. How's the security going? All right. You know, think about that. He loves us because he loves us. And it says, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we want God's love to be more and more perfected in us, we need to continue to love one another. Overlook people's weaknesses. I've been married twice. I love my wives. You know, but I probably don't have any disagreements more with anyone, people that are the closest to me. You ever been around me and Jesse? My son? Yeah, it's fireworks. But you know what? We love one another. God dwelleth in us and his love is perfect in us. As we love each other, his love is perfected in us. It's perfected in us. That's a tremendous, tremendous truth. Look at verse 17, or verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Boy, think of that. Fear obliterates believing. It just is an enemy of believing. It, whenever and wherever we fear, we cannot believe God's word. And that's no good. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. So oftentimes, we're trying to figure out what the problem is in our lives, or maybe you're counseling with somebody and you're trying to help them. So often it's a love problem, because so often it's a fear problem. So the fear problem is solved with love, if the Bible's right. Perfect love casteth out fear. It's so simple. Yet, because maybe it's so simple, we don't. That's why I'm sharing this tonight. There were so many prayers last week about health. Well, here's the answer. The Word of God and love. And it's the answer. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth it is not made perfect in love. That's a deep, these, you know, you read this all the time, you can quote it, but you just sit and think about what it's saying. You know. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how is he going to love God who he hasn't seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let me just do this real quick. I got some calculations here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. At least 24 times in one verse it mentions love. I think there's a point trying to be made up in him. And in the originals, there were no chapters or verses, so let's keep going. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that's begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. Dun, dun, dun. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Well, how are you going to keep a shkabooba? How are you going to do that? You going to keep a shkabooba? 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 Whatever I said. Are you going to keep a shkabooba? Are you? No, why? You don't know what it is. You don't know what a shkabooba is. I don't know what a shkabooba. I don't know from shkabooba. The same with the Word of God. Most people are complete. Now, they'd be maybe the nicest people in the world. They might be the best huggers in the world. But that has nothing to do with the love of God. Not necessarily. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Look, how are you going to keep his commandments if you don't know what they are? How are you going to accept what God's given you freely if you don't know what he's given you freely? You're not. This is the love of God. Man, oh man, people so oftentimes try to separate the love of God versus the Word of God. You get the people, hey, not the Word, nothing but the Word. You got to know the Word. You need to know the Greek. You need to know the figures of speech. I don't either. But I need to know the Word in order to be able to manifest love. That's how you do it. And it's all about giving. Giving. Once you learn the Word of God, man, you give it. You just give it. And you live a great life that way. Pretty cool. Man, this is the love of God. Keep his commandment, keep his word. And that's why it's so refreshing to be around believers, because you're inspiring one to another. You behave yourself.
Yeah.
And you kind of inspire each other to want to do the word. Conversations come up in fellowships like this where people share and they get blessed and they get help and they get counsel and they get deliverance because of the word. People are sharing the word, which is loving. It's kind. It's beautiful. What else do we want to read? Ephesians. Why not? Chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." That verse still is too big for me. I don't understand it. Other than it says that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, which is amazing. Look at verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what?"
Love.
God chose us in him. He chose us holy and without blame. No condemnation, no anything. No, well, you've been bad. Well, yeah. But he doesn't look at us like that. Look at verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." It was God's good pleasure to make sure that we're sitting here. It's his good pleasure that we're sons of God. Look at verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Or it could read the remission of sins. He's remitted every sin. You don't have to remember every sin to ask God for forgiveness. You can't remember them anyway. There's so many of them, in, you know. "The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and patience, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." It was and is God's good pleasure to have made known unto us the mystery, that Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs of the same body, and that it would be Christ in us, the hope of glory. Something. Oh, it goes on. There's so much in the Word of God to be thankful for. You know, you read the first three chapters of Ephesians right here, like what we're doing in this book, and there's nothing in those first three chapters that God tells us to do. Everything in those first three chapters is what he's done for you. My old friend Joe Guarini used to say that the Bible is divided two ways. In the Old Testament, it was due, in the New Testament, done. Mm-hmm. It's all been done for us. It's all done. It's done. Look at chapter 2. "And you hath he made alive," quickened is made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation." Conversation could be behavior or manner of life. We've had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. Whatever we wanted to do, we did. And then we wanted to do it more and more and more and more. That's what lust is. How does that go? Need. Lust. Lust begins where need ceases. That's it. You know, where you don't need it anymore. That's lust. Got to have it. And that's how we were in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is who we were before we got born again. But, And that's a big ass J-Lo butt right there. Whenever you see the word butt in the Bible, it sets in contrast what was shared before. So what was before? We were lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, children of wraths. Even as others. But, big but, God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is withholding merited judgment. I deserve a kick in the ass. God gives me a candy or something. I don't know. I'll never forget the time Jesse, well, something went through this window, I recall. Broke the window. He blew it. He knew he blew it. I said, Joyce, I'm just taking Jesse out. And I bought him something. I don't remember what it was. But he felt terrible about it. God, that's kind of like a human mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, why? For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. We didn't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and get saved. We didn't become good enough to get saved. We didn't walk 30 old people across the street to get saved. You know, make cookies for the building fund. He hath raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show. And this word show is that word exhibit, like an art exhibit. He could just exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace. So we had his, what was that verse about mercy? Great mercy. What did it say?
Rich in mercy.
Rich in mercy. And here, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. And that's undeserved divine favor. In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And you know who this is written to? Every single believer. If they're a Methodist even, you know, or whatever, name the brand. It's anybody who's born again. This is how God looks at us. There's no reason for denominations. Because at the gathering together, there's not going to be, they got the Catholic side, the Baptist side. No! That's devilish. That's what gets promulgated in people's brains. Oh, this is a fellowship of 25 Ray Street. That's it. Ain't no brand. Brand of Christ, I guess. But he's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places. The age is coming, he might show the exceeding riches. He might exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. It wasn't works. For by grace you got born again. Through faith, you believed. You believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ, you know. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. God gave it to us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if it was a matter of works, people would boast. People still boast, but, the, you know, it's stupid. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. And in the Greek, it's the Greek word poema, and it means masterpiece. We're God's masterpieces. Every single believer is God's mess. You're, you know, a Monet or whatever. What an end. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus on the good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But we're God's masterpieces, and we didn't paint that masterpiece. He did, and it's us. Go to Romans. This felt like tonight that we should talk about love. Well, there's a tremendous amount of giving involved in it, too. Verse 6. Well, figure it out. 5. Sorry. Making me work. Chapter 5. Yeah, sure. I see it. Verse 6. You know, the highest point of love has got to be God providing for man. I can't think of any higher. That is a lot of love that he loves men. That's a lot of love. Anyway, verse 6, did I say? Mm-hmm. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man would even dare to die. For God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Boy, there it is again. He died for us. He commended his love toward us. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Amazing. That is just so amazing to me. And because of God's love, we've got salvation and we get to enjoy it. 1 John 3. I think we'll close here. First John 3, verse 1. Behold, and that word behold is really a big, cool word. It's like, you know, you could look at a painting or something like that, just glance at it. It means you focus. Behold, you look at it. You pay attention. You look at the detail. You look at the beauty, the splendor. You look at the light. You look at the whole thing, the whole thing. You get it. Behold what manner of love. Man, oh man. The Father hath bestowed upon us. He wants us to not merely glance, but he wants us to behold that. To really, really behold that. To really look at it. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Man, oh man. 1 John 4, 9, and then we'll close here. And this was manifested, the love toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I think of that song that Lance sings, you know, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So let's have a great week loving and appreciating God's love for us. Let's have a great week giving. Let's have a great week sharing that love with others. Let's just have a great week enjoying our lives as sons of God. So I'm going to pray. If you'd like to give, please do. A couple of you are late, so you got a late fund. Father, thank you so much for your great love and kindness to us. Thank you for the tenderness that your love brings to even the people with the hardest of hearts. Thank you, Father, for helping us see you bigger. Father, that our fellowship with you can increase and that we can bless your people in a great way. Thank you, Father, for every person here, for blessing them from the top of their heads to the tip of their toes. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.